Beers and Tears would like to acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians of the land from which we conduct this podcast, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We recognise their continued connection to the land and waterways and sky of this beautiful place, and we pay our respects to elders past and present, and extend that respect to all First Nations people present today, and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. Welcome back to Beers and Tears. Today I'm joined with Jazzy Dale. Hi, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good, thank you. So you've been in Melbourne for one day only. Did you get here yesterday?
No, I got here this morning.
Oh my God. And you're leaving tonight?
No. Stay till Thursday night. Okay. So I'm like having a bit of a trip.
Okay. And so you've been around have you been to like the city yet?
No, not yet. Okay. I'm not exactly sure where the city is.
Right. It's close to here. It's okay. Like probably 10 minutes from here. You can get on a tram and go to the city.
I haven't yet, but I think I'm going to do that on like Thursday right before I leave.
Okay, cool. All right, fun. Have you got any other like things that you want to particularly do while you're here or not really?
I want to go thrifting.
Okay, cool.
Because I've heard that thrifting here's – I've never been thrifting. Yeah. But I thought, now's the time to get into it.
Yeah.
So I'm doing that tomorrow. And then other than that, I've just, like, been wanting to, like, just go around and see places.
Yeah.
Like, go to little bars. Cute. And stuff like that.
Fun. Amazing. Yeah. Awesome. And so music-wise, when did you kind of start getting into making and creating music and wanting to put that out for people to hear eventually?
I started making music when I was like 12 or 13. So yeah. I've been at it for a while, but I'm super, super particular with what I put out there. So like when it's like when you're like doing it for yourself, it's like nothing's ever like up to my standards. So I waited until like I think I was like 16 or 17 to release my first song.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And at that point, what was the process like for you and what was it like putting your first song out?
It was pretty easy actually, like because I had heaps of help from the like studio that I was writing at. They taught me, like they ran me through it all and they taught me how to do it all. And then they helped set up like photographers and stuff like that. So it was like very fun. It also just felt very good to like actually get a song out after like working so long to like try find my sound and try find like what, like, you know, I want to do, you know what I mean?
For sure. And when speaking of your sound, you've kind of like described it as like alternative R&B sort of vibe. Is this like where you see your music evolving? Is this what you've always kind of like made? What has the journey been like, kind of like finding
the
your
journey
sound?
Definitely did not start at R&B. It started because I was so young. I feel like it started more pop.
Mm-hmm.
And it stayed pop for a while and then I kind of got into like ballads and sad songs, which I love writing sad songs. Like it's probably one of my favorite genres to write, but it's just not me. Mm. Like I don't necessarily want to release a sad song. Like I love like kind of conceited, but I love like listening to my sad songs when I want like when I want to cry.
Yeah.
But like I just never saw that as like that being my project.
Mm.
But then I started like I think Sneak In, my first release, might have been the first like R&B-ish song that I wrote. Mm. And like that's, I kind of just knew, like with all my releases, I've had a feeling. And like when I get that feeling, I just like put the song out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And I guess this new song that you have out, Mr. Right, it has like sad elements to it in a way, yeah. But it like kind of you've made it a bit more bad bitch in its like production. Yeah, I guess it like dives into like a particular relationship that you like went into and yeah, I guess you go into themes of like not wanting to lower your standards. Yeah, do you want to like tell me a little bit about this track? You did a bit of what did you call it? Hot girl detective work.
Yeah, so the story behind it is I was dating this boy and he was from like a college in Sydney, and you know, I thought he was nice. None of my friends did, but I feel like your friends always know.
They
first.
Know. That's the teller.
And you should always just listen to your friends. That's like the biggest thing I've learned over the years. But anyway, I dated him anyway because I didn't care. And he invited me to a party one night, so I rocked up to this party fashionably late. Because I'm not going to show up exactly when the party starts. Like, I don't know anyone. I'd rather get there when everyone's drunk.
Sure.
And,
yep.
like, the vibe is good.
Mm-hmm.
So I rocked up with my friends and he wasn't there. So I called him. I was like, hey, like, where are you? He's like, just in Dylan's room. I'll be back in 1 second. He comes back with this girl who he's like, previously talked shit on, and he'd also had like not a past relationship with her but a past like fling, I guess. And like, I just feel like when like the guy that you're with is like talking badly about a girl, it's just like a red flag.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Number one.
Mm-hmm.
And the number two red flag was their faces were all red and sweaty. But I'm a big, like, innocent until proven guilty person. So I, like, asked him. I was like, hey, did anything happen? And he's like, no, like, nothing happened. She tried to, but I told her I'm with you and then nothing happened. I was like, okay, I believe you, stupidly. And then we went back to his house that night, and then I woke up in the morning and I was about to leave to, like, a therapy session. And I decided
Fitting.
To make – I decided to, like, make his bed because I decided to do a nice thing for him. And when I was making his bed, I, like, flicked his sheets up and I, like, just saw, like, something, like, in the bed. And I, like, moved the sheets to have, like, a closer look, and it was a blue acrylic nail in his bed. So I texted my friend who knew this girl because, like, I kind of knew this girl mutually.
Mm.
I texted my friend who was, like, good friends with this girl, and I was like, hey, like, slyly ask for her nail color but don't make it obvious at all.
You fully did the detective work.
So my friend goes, hey, I need inspo on what color to get my nails. Can you send me a photo of yours? Like, you always have really nice nails. Lo and behold, she sends a photo and she has bright blue acrylic nails with one missing. And yeah. And then I hit him with a one-liner. Like, I just gave him nothing. I just like said one sentence and then that was the end of it. I said, I'm not going to allow myself to be disrespected by someone I lowered my standards for.
Lyric.
Exactly.
Wow. And so does he know that this song – do you know that he – does he know this song's out?
He'd have to know. Like, he'd actually have to be oblivious. But also, he texted me, like, a couple weeks ago right after the song came out. And he's like, hey, would love to catch up. I've, like, seen you've been doing well with your new release. Would love to catch up and have a chat and just see how we're doing. And I was just like, no, thank you.
Wow. There you go.
But I hate it. You'd have to be an idiot to know. It's like I, yeah, like we follow each other on everything still. Like you'd have to know. You couldn't not. Anyway, yeah.
That's the story.
That's the story.
Right. And so you collaborated with Cyrus Villanueva on this track production-wise. And I guess you've kind of mentioned that you have like a particular vision when you're like when you've written a song and you're going into the studio and you're like going to get it produced. I guess what was the production process like and what was it like working with Cyrus and, yeah, what was the journey of this song kind of sonically?
So I always go into – when I work with Cyrus, I always go in with a reference track.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that whole week before, like, the incident had happened, I'd been rinsing this song from a girl named Bennett and it's called Give Me a Reason. And – that's so I gave that song to Cyrus and I was like, I kind of want it to have a similar vibe. And then it has quite a similar vibe, but like a little bit different. And then we just like kept building on it. Then we let it sit a while because this happened like this whole thing happened last year. Am I getting my time? Yeah, last year in like July. So I wrote it in July last year and we let it like sit for a long time. And it was like only this year in April where I told Cyrus, I was like, hey, I'm going to release it. Should we do some ad prod? And then we added like a bunch of extra stuff, which ended up making it like sound cooler. Like the start was completely different on the first version. And then we added heaps more backing vocals, which just made it like, I feel like a little bit smoother as well.
Okay, cool. And like visually, photography wise, music video wise, just like, how do you play around with that kind of imagery when it comes to your music, I guess?
Oh, I love a Pinterest board.
Yes, for sure.
They are just my saviors. Yes, I think I have a Pinterest board for everything, and that's how I like do it, because also Pinterest is so good. Like you choose one photo and then the next thing you know, it has like all of that same vibe.
The
like,
algorithms are good.
The algorithm, seriously, so good. So I just like straight from the get-go, I had like, oh, this song kind of gives me like a metallic ghosty kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, maybe that doesn't have to like be exactly in the cover art, but we can put it into the visualizer. And then I was like, I'm definitely getting a black lace vibe. Like I just like got everything off Pinterest. And then I sent it to the editor. Like, and he just made it exactly how I wanted, like the, metallic writing, and like, it's actually my godbrother who's in the, cover art and the visualizer.
Cool.
And, he just made it like perfect. Like, but yeah, like, I don't really know. Like, I think I don't go in with it. Like, I don't like listen to a song and I'm like, this is exactly how I want it to look. Like I have a rough idea, but then I definitely rely on Pinterest to like build that idea from the ground.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I feel like if you've got a good Pinterest foundation, it's so good to just like, so easy to just like pick bits and pieces and make it happen.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I also have like a very like, I know exactly, obviously it's changed each release. Like I don't know if you probably can't tell, but I go through colors. Like I always have phases of colors. So like my first release, it was pink. And then my second release, it was green. And then I was like, I can't do these colors anymore because I just get sick of colors the more I look at them. So I decided to make a like board of like what colors I want in my artist project from now on. So it's like that blue, like cold kind of like silvery blue, black, white, and like a kind of grayish color. And I was like, this is just what I'm going to stick with now. Like these colors.
Nice. That's really interesting.
Because then I feel like it makes everything look a bit more cohesive, like as you go through releases.
Yeah.
And they can still be a little bit different as well.
And your Instagram feed will look nice.
So it'll aesthetic. Be,
yeah. It'll all fit accordingly. Yeah. No, I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sweet. And I guess in terms of your songwriting process, how do you go about writing songs? Do you have like a ritual that you do before you write a song? Do you just like, does something happen and you just like, okay, I'm gonna write a song about it? Like, what is your usual kind of process like?
I always have to write a song about like something. Like, well, not something, obviously everyone writes songs about something, but like something that's happened.
Yeah, like an event.
Like something I can relate to and that other people can relate to. Like, I don't want to make it too specific. So I like to make my songs like universal, so it's like other people can like correlate with that. But like most of the time I'll go in and like we'll start on the track like based off like the reference track. And then once the chords are put down, I start doing like melody and lyrics. And like melody is probably the easiest part for me. Like I love coming up with a melody. It's my favorite part. But yeah, and then after I get the melody, I get the lyrics and like everything kind of just falls into place. Then we do like more production, obviously, as it goes on. But yeah, I like to like write like lying down. I like to get really comfy when I'm in the studio, because like if I'm just sitting up straight, I can't do it properly.
So you lie down and you write a song.
Yeah, like I'll lie down on the couch and like take my shoes off and like get really comfy to like be able to like write good lyrics.
And do you usually write in the studio?
Yeah. So I always write in the studio. Sometimes I write like in my room when I have like little random like lyrics come to my head, but like usually it's in the studio because I just like kind of like to keep things like fresh. And like sometimes I like to go in with ideas to the studio, but like I always think I work better when I have no idea what I'm going to come out with that day and no expectations, because it's really hard, like, well, for me, because like I'm not super great at playing any instruments. Well, like I can play guitar, but I don't know what chords I'm playing. Mm-hmm. Like I know that they're chords, but I don't know what they're called.
Right.
So I can't be like play a D sharp minor or whatever it is. So I have to like, yeah, and just not go in with expectations, because everything always sounds different. And it's like I find when I go in with expectations, I like, if it doesn't sound like that, I get so fixated on it doesn't sound the way that I planned it to sound. So, yeah, I just like to go in open-minded and just free.
Cool. Unreal. And you're from Sydney.
Yes.
Do you feel like living in Sydney and living in the city influences your music in any way? And I guess, are there any like local artists that you vibe with and know you're loving in Sydney?
Well, I don't know if it like living in the city necessarily influences my music, because I feel like in Sydney around where I live, it's very like indie, like alt indie dominated.
Yep.
So it's just like, whereas like if you go more west, it's very R&B in cool. Sydney, but like I don't live near west and I don't like get out there like very much unless mm-hmm. I like do riding around there. So I just like kind of like, I actually try not to get influenced a little bit, because I kind of want to like stay in like the lane that like, you know, I've created, and I don't want to like, you know, get too indie with my R&B. I'm okay to experiment though, but like I've just found that like not letting the people around me influence me too much helps my like songs better. But who do I love? I can't really think of a Sydney artist, but I love Pania.
Okay, yeah.
Love her. I saw her play at Vivid. It was actually the first time I saw her, because my mom loved her first, and my mom's like, you have to come see this girl with me. First time I heard of her, and I just like fell in love straight from there. Like I think she is phenomenal. Her live is amazing. And her songs are amazing too, and she's just so insanely talented.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like Pania is such a good like person to like relate your music to as well. I feel like you have a similar vibe in a certain way.
Thanks.
Yeah, like aesthetic wise as well. Like I can kind of see that.
Yeah, thank you.
So there you go. Yeah, Pania. Pania's so sick, hey.
Yeah, she's dope as fuck.
Cool. And who else are you listening to? You can totally swear. Okay, yeah. Who else are you listening to?
Love like Summer Walker. My all time favorite is Georgia Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously I love Squid the Kid.
Yeah.
I love his last song.
Squid the Kid
is sick. A bit biased of me, but I love it. His last song so much. And then who else? I've been listening to Travis Scott's new album a bit. He's popping off on that.
I haven't heard it.
Oh, there's one really good song with SZA. I forget what it's – I think it's like called Telekinesis or something. So good.
Cool. Maybe yeah. I'll give that a listen.
SZA's a good one too. I yes. like SZA.
Okay, there's a theme.
Yeah, yeah,
you listen. You you definitely are on the R&B grind.
Yeah,
but like kind of like soft R&B. Yeah, you know, like
yeah, yeah. I get you. Like not too. It's not full on. Yeah. It's not like Beyonce. I do love Beyonce though.
Yeah,
but Beyonce is more of a like full on.
Yeah, like, and it's not like '90s R&B. It's kind of yeah. like yeah, Georgia Smith, SZA.
Yeah.
It's like new wave R&B.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cool. And I guess what is coming up for you in the next half of the year? What is your vision for this project, generally speaking?
Well, I have a few shows coming up. Like I'm doing like a little mini East Coast tour, I guess we can call it. So I'm going to do a show in Melbourne at Bad Decisions.
Cool.
On the 5th of November. And then I'm doing the North Gong thing in Wollongong mm-hmm. on the 12th. And then Sydney is still TBC. We don't have a venue for that yet. But other than that, just like random little shows. And I love performing live. I think it's so fun. Like I do it with Trax and my guitarist and we just like get along so well and it ends up just being such a fun night every Unreal. Time. But yeah, other than that, I'm trying to arrange a shoot for my next release. But I don't know if that'll be the end of this year or the start of next year. Just okay. see how I feel.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll yeah. stay tuned. There'll be things yeah. on the horizon.
Yeah.
Cool. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for chatting.
Thank you for having me.
No worries. Amazing. You can stay back, boy, don't you mind? I'm just waiting for Mr.